Welcome to Disability Talks, a podcast produced by Abilities in Motion. I'm your host, Shelley Hauser. Join us for real conversations and no-nonsense talk from everyday people with disabilities living their most independent everyday lives. Tune in for the latest news surrounding disability, accessibility, and independence, where conversations aren't dissed and stories that need to be told aren't missed. So let's talk. Welcome back. So today we're talking about voting rights. My guest today is Stephanie Quigley, our Executive Director for Abilities in Motion. And Stephanie, welcome. How are you today?
Hi, Shelley. Thank you. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me back on the show.
Yeah. In 2020, now is the time more than ever to get our voices heard. And I really wanted to have you on today to talk about our voter initiative. Can you let our listeners know more about what Abilities in Motion is doing here in Berks County?
Absolutely. We have a pretty robust voter initiative going on this year. As everyone is probably very well aware, 2020 has been quite a year. Let me just start by saying that. Yeah. So 2020 is a big election year for the United States. And Abilities in Motion has really taken on a lot of initiative to make sure that the word gets out about voting and what voter rights look like as far as the disability vote, how to get registered, how to make sure your registration is updated. We're putting a lot of time and effort into contacting the people that we serve to make sure that they have updated registrations. They know where their polling places are in case they've been moved on account of the pandemic. Make sure that any kind of accessibility issues can be resolved before the election day rolls around. We have partnered with a nonprofit agency in Pennsylvania called the PA Housing Alliance.
Okay.
And they've in turn partnered with a bunch of nonprofits to try to really get the word out about voting in this year's election. It's extremely important that everybody understand what their rights are as far as a voter. So we've partnered with them. We've committed to trying to get at least 200 new registrations completed before, I believe it's October 19th. We're very well on our way to accomplish. So
nice.
In our small world, in our small community, you know, we're trying to do our part to make sure our consumers have the information that they need. This year, most of all, there's been so much concern about how to vote, where to vote, what does it look like if I want to do a mail-in ballot? And I'm sure we'll touch base on some of this later in the conversation. But as far as we're concerned as disability advocates, we're very much concerned about the current climate of challenging mail-in ballots and additional hurdles to the mail-in process. It seems as if that it's a deliberate attempt to hinder voting more times than not, or more times than an average typical person, I should say, have experienced physical barriers getting into a polling place. And mail-in ballots, a great opportunity for people to vote, that they wouldn't have to experience those physical barriers. They could cast their vote in private, get it off in the mail, and it would be counted with no concern. So I think what we're experiencing this year is a little concern about some of the drama surrounding mail-in balloting. And we want to just be a resource for people if it is just reassurance that, yes, your vote will count as long as you're doing it the proper way. So we have a lot of education on that. We want to make sure that people just know their rights. And we have taken the time to put together a team within our own organization. It's called a human rights team. And they're starting to take a look at some voter suppression situations going on, not just in our local community, but globally. And I'm sure Shelley will talk about that too a little later on in our conversation.
Right.
But, you know, so our voter initiatives are all surrounded around getting people registered, knowing their rights. We're nonpartisan. I do want to say that. It's about exercising the most important right that you have as an American, and that is to cast your vote in November. And finally, I feel really long-winded here, but you're not just voting for a president this year. You're voting for senators. You're voting for judges. You're voting for House of Representatives. You're voting for a lot of different offices. So please don't get focused on just a presidential election. You need to make sure you vote the whole ballot up and down to make sure that your voice is heard, because the president doesn't always make all of the big decisions. There's a lot of people and a lot of elected officials that get overlooked. And we just want to make sure that, you know, it's not just a presidential election. Use your entire ballot.
There's a lot of people that represent us between our house and the White House, right?
Right.
So we need to vote all of them in. And
I wanted to bring up one in particular point that I've seen time and time again here, at least in Pennsylvania. And the joke runs that you can be naked, but your ballot cannot.
Right.
Do you know what a naked ballot is?
I think I know, but I'm going to let you sort of elaborate on
that. Okay. So what I've been seeing is that there are two major steps that every American that's voting needs to remember. When they receive their mail-in or their absentee ballot, there are two envelopes. Their ballot gets filled out in the privacy of their home, and then they put it into the secrecy envelope and seal it. Once they do that, they put it into the outer mail-in ballot and seal it. But they also absolutely need to sign it. If they cannot physically sign it, even an X or any sort of scribble that they are able to physically make, or if somebody signs on their behalf and fills it out as an assistant voter, it needs to be signed on the outside. Otherwise, your ballot, your voice, your vote will be disqualified. So we have voting rights, but do we know who can vote?
Yeah, I think that's another big distinction. There's a few fundamental things that you have to, criteria that you have to meet in order to be able to vote in a U.S. election. And that is, number one, you have to be a United States citizen. In Pennsylvania, you have to be a Pennsylvania resident of your district at least 30 days before the election. And of course, the one everybody knows, you have to be at least the age of 18 years old.
Yes. And I know from working the polls myself, that can actually, you can be 18 on election day.
Wow.
And okay. It still can count. Because I've had a few young ones come
yeah.
in. And we do a big round of applause when we get new voters in, at least in my district. We try to make it a really positive experience because we want every voter to come back.
That's great.
So yeah.
We've also seen some new first-time voters come through our registration process this year, and it's always cause for celebration and send them off with a good luck. You know, this is your first time
yeah.
voting. What a year to vote in. But, you know, it's exciting. It's very exciting the first time you vote. I won't forget my first time. And I actually remember almost every single time I've walked into those polls, because it's the one thing that you can do to actually have your voice heard. Every vote counts. You know, people kind of brush it off, like, you know, when they hear the results of an election, especially a national election, they get discouraged because it seems to be, you know, so far beyond any vote counting.
Yeah.
And I couldn't disagree more, because some of these elections, especially in the last midterm election, were very close. And the last, you know, how many elections that we've had, there have been instances where it's come down to 50 votes. And if you think that your vote doesn't count, you couldn't be more wrong.
I know that in the last election, we definitely saw crypt the vote, and rev up the vote, definitely saw an uptick in persons with disabilities voting and getting out there and exercising their voice and their rights, which was phenomenal.
Right.
If every person with a disability in the United States was registered and did exercise their right to vote, we would have 3 million more. And that was as of 2016.
Right.
They would have 3 million more votes to swing an election. That's a lot of us out there.
That is. And I think that's a very important distinction, especially for this coming November. You know, the statistics show that that 2016 election had an increase in the disability vote. And, you know, facing, again, what I mentioned early on in the introduction to our discussion, you know, facing physical barriers in polling places, and we've improved since then. If the 2016 midterm elections were any indication about this disability vote growing, I think we are going to see amazing numbers coming out of this population for the 2020 vote.
Yeah. Representation is everything. So for them to say, for 3 million of us to say, my one little vote doesn't matter, they couldn't be more wrong. It absolutely matters. Every vote matters. And it's our democracy. That was one thing that I've heard, and I wanted to ask you. Some of our summertime students that come to the program, when I taught it two summers ago, didn't realize they had the right to vote. When you have new voters registering through this initiative, what kind of excitement or concerns or questions are they having?
Their biggest question is really specific to this election.
Okay.
Because they're hearing a lot of the contradictory information about mail-in balloting. They're hearing issues that is causing them concern about using a mail-in ballot. And we just reassure them that your vote is
counts. It is a legal, you're casting your vote that everybody else has the right to do, and you're doing it to your ability in the way that is accessible to you. It counts. Trying to get away from the drama and the talk, because that doesn't help anything, right? Like it just doesn't. And we want to make sure that they understand to vote first and foremost. You're registered, you're excited. Do not let any of this negativity dismay you or discourage you from voting. And that's our biggest push for the ones that have come through and are of the younger crowd that haven't been through this before, really. It's kind of like a cheerleading moment for them. Like, let's do it. You got it. You're ready to go. You're all set for November 3rd.
I know that assisted to vote is ATV is something that a lot of voters, I taught one of our students the ATV, and they were really quite excited about that. So for our listeners that don't know what ATV is, it's assist to vote, and any voter can go. And if they have had new cataract surgery, because I had a voter with that, or they had a stroke, or they just want somebody to go in and help them through the process, they can ask for an assist to vote. Now, the judge of elections cannot help them, and a union boss cannot help an American voter, but anybody else of that voter's choice can go to the ballot box with them or on the accessible machines that might be available at their polling place and walk them through the process, explain or read to them how it works. And they can have it for that one time, or they can have it forever. If they fill out a simple ATV form in where they sign their name in the poll book, it will always say ATV. And that person, that voter, can pick out whoever they want to come with them every single time. That just really empowers that person to just
right
exercise that right.
That's part of what we want to make sure we're doing as far as an agency that serves people with disabilities, is getting the information to the people that we serve so that they're not afraid to go, or they're not afraid to cast their ballot in whatever way they decide to do. We want them to understand that what their rights are as far as doing that. You cannot be turned away. If you go to the polls, you can't be turned away. You can't be told you can't vote. They're responsible for finding a way to getting you into the building to vote if that's how you're choosing to exercise your right. I think we've come a long way as far as making sure polling places are accessible. It's extremely unfortunate and frustrating for us this year because the county where we're located in our corporate office of Abilities in Motion was undertaking, before COVID-19, I should say, a really comprehensive evaluation of all of the public polling places to ensure that they were accessible, or to study their accessibility to make sure that A, they were, B, if they're not, what can be done to make them accessible, and C, you know, we're not just talking about wheelchair accessibility or physical accessibility, it's about the voting machines too. You know, people with hearing issues or sight impairments, are they able to use the voting machines? And, you know, we've come made some improvements as far as our own machines locally. We've tested them. They seem to be very accessible. Again, we're concerned about the physical accessibility getting into those polling places, which that operation got canceled because of COVID-19. It was supposed to have been done and completed by the end of June. And we all know what happened in March. Mail-in balloting is where it's at for certain people. And, you know, again, I want to stress to all of our listeners, we're not focusing on the negativity around that. We just want to make sure people that want to vote that way are able to, and that they're doing so without fear.
That's a really good point that you brought up. So for right now, we're going to take a small break, and we'll see you on the other side. Stay tuned.
Abilities in Motion is one of Pennsylvania's premier centers for independent living, existing to educate, support, and promote individuals with disabilities. Our programs are focused on providing opportunities for individuals with disabilities to live independent, self-determined lives. Abilities in Motion advocates for local, state, and national laws that protect the rights of people with disabilities. We are proud to create innovative and sustainable solutions and set trends using multi-focused approaches towards shaping national education, employment opportunities, companies, in-home supports, and healthcare that affects the lives of individuals with disabilities. For more information about programs and services Abilities in Motion provides, call 610-376-0010 or visit our website at www.abilitiesinmotion.org.
And we're back with Disability Talks. Thanks for joining us today. I'm your host, Shelley Hauser, in case you've just joined us. And today we're talking about voting in 2020, the time of COVID. Stephanie, let's get back into the conversation.
I know I have students in college in my home. And last year, all four of us, a lot of us were working the polls at my house. So we did a mail-in ballot to test the process itself.
Right.
And even this year, my sons have gotten postcards or emails saying, we've received your request for a mail-in ballot. My one son got a postcard saying his is sent, it was mailed out and it's on its way. I know we get postcards and email reminders saying, don't forget to mail it back. And, you know, and then when last year, all four of us did a mail-in ballot, and when it was received by all four at the office, we all got individual emails saying, we've received and processed your mail-in ballot on such and such a day. Thanks for voting.
I think if everyone realized the tools that they have available to them to help this initiative to get out the vote this year, and not just this year, but every year, it's something that everyone should do. We have the right people have fought so hard through the history of our country to be able to provide the right to vote to all people that we don't want to waste it.
No. And I think this year, women have celebrated 100 years.
That's right.
Yeah.
Another huge milestone and accomplishment. I couldn't be more proud to be a woman.
Yes.
And, you know, you just don't take these rights for granted. And I sure don't. And I want to make sure we encourage everybody to get out and vote. Just use it. You don't know when, you know, is going to influence you on who to vote for. This is about using your most significant right as a United States citizen.
Yeah. So I wanted to kind of, since I worked the polls for the last 5 years, and I'm an advocate and a disability advocate and a hardcore voter, neutral voter.
Right.
I wanted to kind of let some of the folks know that if they show up to their polls and they find out that their name has been purged from the books and it's not in the books, they still have the right to vote. There's a backup list that's printed because sometimes the books are printed before the registration comes in, or if they haven't voted in a few years, all that poll worker has to do is pick up the office phone and call their local voter office and cross-check it with the list and get a green provisional ballot that the judge of elections will help them fill out and cast their vote that way. If a voter should accidentally choose the wrong candidate, they can go to the judge of elections and say, you know, mark all the bubbles in that case so we don't know how they voted, and say, I need a spoiled ballot. And they will make sure that all the choices are checked off, put it in a separate envelope that gets sent back to the office, and give you a fresh ballot. And I believe you can do that once or twice at least, and then they will maybe get somebody to help you after that. But we as poll workers absolutely want you to exercise your independence, your right, and your freedom to vote in every way possible. So that's why poll workers are trained,
right?
To really help you, you know, and we're excited to have you there at poll workers. We give big cheers to people that haven't voted in years, to new voters, to voters that didn't think they could do it and feel that empowerment of voting.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. So voter suppression is something that we all have, and we've had for a long time. Sometimes there's voter intimidation. Rutgers found an analysis that if people with disabilities voted at the same rate as people without disabilities, there could be 2 to 3 million more voters. And we already talked about that. Technology. There are assisted machines in a lot of states, in many poll places. I'm not sure if we have it here in Berks County, but they are assistive technology devices. I know I've gone to the State Department twice and worked with the staff there to test them. And they're constantly making upgrades to the machines and the voting process here in Pennsylvania. And they really do listen to us when we as poll workers tell them you know, a survey at the end of the night. What went well? What could have gone better? What do you need next time? And they are constantly making these changes. Every 6 months I'm seeing
right.
this change.
I think, you know, that's kudos to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I think they've done a lot of good to try to address some of the issues that are some of the polling places have experienced and the machines themselves. Mm-hmm. And when looking at implementing new machines, I believe that they did this year or maybe last year, 2019, they brought us to the table.
Yeah.
And asked us, and when I say us, I mean the disability community, about, you know, does this make sense? Are you able to access this machine? And tested it with various individuals of all disability to make sure that, you know, okay, it works for X, Y, and Z. And I think that's an important thing to mention, that they're bringing people to the table that it affects the most. Mm-hmm. Because why would you want to invest in machines that aren't accessible to everyone? If you want to people to get out the vote and you want to people want people to come in person to a polling place, let's make sure the machines are accessible. Mm-hmm. And of course, the polling place.
Yeah. The first time my polling office used the accessible machines, we had 4 or 5 voters use it. And one of them was myself, just to, you know, go through the process and make right. sure I knew if we had a guest that it was working. But this last time we had in May, we had almost 20 use it. And of all kinds of abilities and disabilities, they right. were just more comfortable with using the accessible machine. We have sip and puffs. So if somebody's a wheelchair user and they have a sip and puff, they're more than welcome to bring that along. It's accessible. There's headphones if you need to hear privately, and it tells you your vote. So if you can't see the screen very well, you can blow up the font size. And what's the other thing you can do? Oh, there's like a little hand control.
Yeah, impressive, actually, to see all of the different options that the one machine that a typical able-bodied person just is going to go up and use it, and the newest thing to them might be, well, it's all digital now instead of an old machine. Whereas if you really need some of these accessibility functions, they're there. So that was really nice to see.
Yes,
it's a step in the right direction and really shows that, you know, everyone is included and they're trying to make sure that people are able to vote in any way that they choose to be able to vote.
Right. So the 3 or 4 ways that I know on how to vote are, you can go into person to the polling places if you're able to get there.
Right.
You could use the absentee or the mail-in ballots. Mm-hmm. And or you can use the accessible machines that we just discussed. I know one complaint I had, even though I am a sighted person with a disability, was the hand controls, almost like an Xbox controller, which is really great. But I questioned how a person with blindness would use it. So what they did was they went back and added Braille on the hand controls.
Right.
And the fonts were really tiny. They were 9-point. Standard is 12-point font.
Yeah.
So it was, when they did the printout, ticker tape of the printout, it was really tiny. So these are definitely some changes that the State Department here in Pennsylvania have really, Sindhu and her staff have really done a phenomenal job of really listening to the disability community and improving it every single time. So there's lots of changes. So I wanted to go over a few frequently asked questions that we sometimes get. Stephanie, where can a person go if they need to know if they're registered to vote, to register to vote, check their polling places? What are some things, some places they can go to
right.
find that out?
Yeah, there's a few different options. What we're telling people is you can go to pavotes.org/aim. You can check your registration. You can register from there. You can get reminders from there, all in one website. So that's kind of an all-inclusive site that was put together for us by the PA Housing Alliance and our partnership. You can go to your local voter or registration office. You can visit them. You can give them a call. And of course, you can always go online to usa.gov. You can do a simple Google search. How do I vote? How do I check my registration? And you'll be presented with a lot of different options.
If somebody panics and they find that their status is as inactive voter, since polling places purge inactive voters and they've moved, can they still vote?
They can. Don't let that scare you off. You just have to confirm the current address that you're living in. I believe they'll give you, or that you could get, a provisional ballot. You always, I want to stress, have the right to vote. Do not let any little hiccup scare you. It can, because if you do, that could lead into something greater, and we could be looking at a voter suppression issue. Just vote. If you are being prevented from voting, you know, just vote.
Yes. That's the big takeaway from today. Some states, I looked this up just this morning. Here in Pennsylvania, we don't do same day registration, but I did look. 21 states plus Washington, D.C. offer same day voter registration. So that's just another way of not panicking.
Right.
The website I found that on was National Conference of State Legislators.org. And I think all these resources we're going to put in our podcast at the bottom when we publish it, so everybody can find this out. So any of the resources that we are talking about today, listeners, we did go check them out and validate to make sure that all these websites and all these phone numbers that we're giving out today are valid and are working.
Check these sources yourself. We're giving information that we have to the best of our knowledge with the information that we've been given. Mm-hmm. As everybody knows, in this climate and this day and age, things change on the minute sometimes. So just check yourself to make sure that you're getting accurate information. We do our best to provide that. And we would certainly never want to give someone incorrect information, but do some homework on your own part. Yeah. It's part of being a good voter, right? Like, yeah, you have to do your own homework. But I wanted to tag along to the states that have same day voting or registering, I should say. We're in Pennsylvania. We don't have that, as you mentioned. We also don't have early voting, which a lot of states do. And if I were to have a wish list of some extra things that our Commonwealth could do to improve voter turnout, would be to recommend having early voting. We're so stuck on one day. It's just, sometimes I think would be a lot easier for everybody if we had early voting and it was a process of a week or however long it gets established. But other states do it and find some really great results with their voter turnout. So, you know, something to think about. I don't know what that process looks like of how to change something like that. It isn't something that you can, is just going to happen overnight. I realize that, but another way to really make sure that people are able to use their right and get out the vote.
I know if somebody has a walker or a wheelchair or a stroller and they're worried and concerned about accessibility, they can always check their local election office.
Right.
And check the accessibility on things, since unfortunately our county hasn't been able to go through and sweep through all of that. And definitely talking about learning more about the candidates, we really need to be educated. Education is everything.
Absolutely.
And when you educate yourself, you empower yourself to be a better voter.
Learn about the candidates.
Yes.
Vote for your interests. Do not vote against your own self-interest. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
Again, there's plenty of information out there about where the candidates stand on various things, especially disability and all those things related to disability, health insurance, drug prices, all those kinds of things tie into very important things that people with disabilities are affected by every day. And you know, it's very readily accessed, this information, if you just do a Google search, or even if you look at your existing congresspeople or elected officials should be able to help provide that information as to who's in office now, who's running, and then you can go from there and do your own searches.
Your local library is a phenomenal resource.
Right.
Or the Nationwide League of Women Voters is also a very nonpartisan, neutral space that will have all that information. And I believe every candidate usually has a website of their own that spells out their policies. But the library and the League of Women Voters are very nonpartisan, wonderful resources that anybody in the United States can go to, call, you know, research on their own in that way as well. So lastly, where can somebody call as a neutral phone number if they have other questions or they want to fill out a complaint form that they feel that their rights have been violated on that on voting day, or they just need a free translator phone number? Who can they call that's nonpartisan as well?
Yeah, they can call the ACLU. That number is pretty easy to remember, 1-866-OUR-VOTE. That's OURVOTE.
Great. And I believe they have several languages that they'll do.
They do. They have it available to you in Arabic, Spanish, English, Bengali, Cantonese, Mandarin, Vietnamese, all kinds of languages.
Kinds.
So you should be covered no matter what language you speak.
Perfect. And lastly, what can we do as American citizens this 2020 in the time of COVID on our election days? What are some things that we can do to get out the vote? And
that's a great question. And obviously, other than the biggest one is vote and register and check your registration, I think another huge impact people can have to help is to volunteer your time. Volunteer, whether it's for a Get Out the Vote organization, an organization such as ours. It doesn't matter. Just get out and volunteer and help propel that change. Help get people registered. You can contact your local housing authorities, your local other nonprofits in your communities. I'm sure they all have voter initiatives that they would love to have assistance with. But again, don't forget to vote. Don't forget to register.
That's right.
Volunteer wherever you can. If you want to do nonpartisan, you can check out the avenues that I just mentioned. If you want to volunteer for a specific party, you're more than welcome to do that. But really get that civic engagement going. We want to always encourage people to vote. We want to make sure they're able to vote however they choose to vote.
Well, with that, I think we have covered everything we possibly could. So the bottom takeaway is today, get out and vote in 2020 and every time after that. It is your vote. It is your voice. It is your right. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us and me and all of our listeners today. And we will see you next time on Disability Talks. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Disability Talks. Want to keep the conversation going? Then visit our website at abilitiesinmotion.org or connect with us on social media. And remember, don't diss my ability.